Okay, we're looking at the gainsayer again tonight. This is round 9, if I'm correct on this thing. And one of the problems this gainsayer has is the fact that why would Jesus, or the risen Savior, God, whatever he wants to say, go to the Gentiles only, that he would ever be done with his people? And he says here, I have a problem with the idea that Christ went to Paul because he was done with the Jews for the time being. Can the claim that God was done with the Jews and thus he went to Paul be supported by Scripture? If I have heard right, you say God was done with them when they stoned Stephen. Can you show me in Acts chapter 6 and 7 where it is even suggested that God at that point was done temporarily with the Jews? I cannot find anything that would suggest that. Then he goes on and he reads the very verses we would go to, which I'll show you, and he misses. He proves our point. He goes to the right verses, and he doesn't see it. So I guess when you're destitute of the truth, you don't see the truth when it there is in front of you. But we'll try it tonight. So let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is where he starts with it here. And I would say two things here. One is, I think one of the things these college guys don't ever do is they don't ever just read the Bible. They are shown all these different verses, and then they tell them what they mean, how they fit into the context, but they've never stepped back and just looked at the whole picture, the whole Bible itself. You step back. I had another guy write to me last night on the email thing. I write to him tonight, and he says, how can you say that the Bible is not written chronologically, but it's written dispensationally? Are you a dispensationalist? I want to say no. I'm a Bible believer. Just read it from the front to the back, and it fits in and makes sense. So, I guess they just don't see it. So it goes to Acts chapter 9. So you look at the whole thing overall, and you see how it has to be that way. And then you look at these verses, and I don't know how he misses this, other than, like I say, when you're destitute of the truth, you're not going to get it anyway. He goes to verse 15, chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Okay, fine. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, so he goes there, and that's fine. He went to the children. Well, yeah, we know that really quick like here. But then he says, you might raise this objection. Okay, then he goes to Acts chapter 13. Okay, so let's go to Acts chapter 13. He goes on to verse 46. He's going to the right places, you know. It's just funny here. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, Jews. So it was. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay? So I don't understand this. He says, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, so there's one of the places he goes. He says, that's a possible objection I would have. Well, I don't know. It says, we turn to the Gentiles. But because he brings it up again in 14... Go to Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they both went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Okay, so he says that part there. He says, I thought in Acts 13 he said he was done with the Jews. Why is he going to the Jews again? What Paul is saying is that he is done with the Jews in that particular city. Yes, that's right. He's got it. I mean, they didn't have email, they didn't have TV, they didn't have news, they didn't have tracks, they didn't have radio, they didn't have news, you know. It takes a while to get around. So we start with those people right there. So he says, in that particular city, not the entire ethnic group. I like that ethnic group. Okay, so he's got the right idea. Yeah, he's done, right? He's done with them. Now, why would God pull away from a particular city? That's kind of an odd thought. You don't think maybe there's more to this? I think, was it JM? Yep, JM. So then he goes to Acts 18. Okay, I might get done earlier than I figured tonight, but we're looking at this. This is these are for the people that think, why would God go to just the Jews, Gentiles only? And can you prove it? Yep, this is where we're doing. And he's helping us do it. The verses, he knows where to go. So we went to, what do we got here? We got Acts 18, and he goes to verse 6. Okay, let's go to Acts 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Okay, well, there it is again. Okay, then he says in Acts 19, though he is back at it again with the Jews. Okay, so here we are at 18, and he says he's going to go unto the Gentiles. Okay, well, he's got that. Another group of Jews, right? As it has to be. Acts 19, verse 8. And he spake, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, if he had paid any attention to the Gospels, what they had was the kingdom of heaven. They could have had the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But the point here is when he went done with Stephen, then the kingdom of heaven, the earthly kingdom, for Christ to be here, he would have come back, he'd have been there, he'd have come down, they'd have done the thing all over again, and it would have had to go through the tribulation, because that's what the payment, the punishment, as he said, the time of Jacob's trouble or something like that. And now it's kingdom of God. And you have to recognize that from here on out, we talk about the kingdom of God. But anyway, he misses that. But they got this kingdom thing mixed up. 9, when divers were hardened, and it's pretty hard, tough to harden up a diver, they're such powerful, you know, the Navy SEALs, but anyway, joke time. And believed not, and spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now he says in his notes, it becomes clear that when Paul said he has done with the Jews, it was the Jews in that particular city. Okay. See, he understands that God has done with some of the Jews in particular cities. But he doesn't see that these are cities are going from a city to an area of the country. Okay, he doesn't recognize that part of it. Then he says, even at the last chapter of Acts, we see Paul preaching the gospel to the Jewish people. Well, so let's go there. Let's go to Acts 28. And we go to the last part of the chapter. He says in Acts chapter 28, verse 17. And it came to pass, verse 17, that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem in the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. So now he goes down this whole list. I guess we'll skip some of these verses here. We go to verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified what? The kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, okay, and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Okay? And that's fine. What he doesn't recognize here is there's a different message now, too. And some believe, because this is the end of Acts, so there's a different message, the kingdom of God message. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Verse 24. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, which I think is interesting, because the Bible says had spoken one word, they left. My sermons have lasted a little longer before people left, although we did have one couple leave our church back in Tushy during the singing. And that was when I realized that people started going to church for music, not for the preaching. I remember that. Bob, are you there that night? People didn't even make it through the first hymn. I think they were looking for this hotshot music stuff. Anyway. 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, now who is this people? We know who this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known unto, therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. So did God go to Paul because he was done with the Jews temporarily? I think the answer is clearly no. No? How does he come up with that? Paul is not a separate program because God got tired of the Jews rejecting him. Paul's manner was to go to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Well, that statement is correct. You know, of course he went to the Jews first. Go back to Acts chapter 9. If we go back to Acts chapter 9, one of the first things that Paul, well, the first thing Paul did was in the Acts chapter 9, verse 19, when he's done with Ananias, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. I'm glad Paul wasn't a vegan or whatever they call those things. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now that's proof that you go back to the Gospels, and that's what they had to believe, that he was the Son of God. So if we go back to any verses in the Gospels, including early Acts here, even with Paul as such, salvation isn't by faith in Christ Jesus, it's the fact that they believe that he was the Son of God. Period. That was it. So there's proof to that one. But just note, yes, Paul did go to the Jews first. Jews were his people. Of course he would go to them first. He always wanted them to get it. The point here is for this JM guy is that what Paul wanted these guys to hear wasn't the old message from the Gospels. Now the Jews, they needed to hear that. And if you go back to Acts chapter 8, just page back there, and when Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch, and Philip asked him in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, what's that, be baptized. Okay, what do you have to believe to be baptized? They had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which is exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is exactly what Paul preached when he first got started to the Jews, that he is the Son of God. Look at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus. How did he confound them? He proved that he was very Christ. So right off the bat, Paul is directing straight to the Jews. But it isn't long in these chapters that he's working the Gentiles in, and the Gentiles are seeing the signs and the wonders. And by the time he's done, he's gone from city to city, he's gone from area, he's gone to the whole thing, and now at the end of chapter 28, he is done, and he's gone on to the Gentiles. Because that was his job. Well, let's go back and let's look at Acts chapter 9. Let's find out. He was told to go to the Gentiles. He was not told to go to the Jews and Jews first and Gentiles. That's what he says, and he did, but that wasn't his command. In Acts chapter 9, he does say in verse 15, chosen vessel to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and that's fine. Go to 22. chapter 22, I mean. Chapter 22, verse 14. This is what Paul is describing in his testimony now about Ananias. We find out what Ananias said specifically. We don't see what Ananias said specifically in Acts chapter 9, but we do see it in Acts chapter 22 from Paul. Verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, so he was a devout man according to the law, that's an important statement, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, this is Ananias, said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. I remember that J.M. didn't think that, he thought that the Holy Spirit talked to Paul, but no, it was the mouth of Jesus himself. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, so now it says, all men, in verse 15, which all men can hear. You know, they still hear Paul. And you go down to verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew me. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So the thing started after Stephen was killed. Paul was there. And when that was done, I said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So his job description is to go to the Gentiles. Now let's look at, I think it's 26. Let's look at 26. Yep, 26. You know, I really don't expect JM to listen way into round 9. You know, but if he does, he'll get what he needs to get. And if he doesn't, we know better what we can tell somebody when they say some of the questions that they've said about what this gainsayer says if we've paid attention to these things. Verse 15, this is Paul talking to Agrippa. And now we're getting the details of Paul's mission or commission. I call it the greater commission from Acts 13. Okay, anyway, Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's the purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and, this is very important, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. Okay, people would be the Jews, and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So he's even taking him away from the Gentiles because he's going to go to the Gentiles. So he's not, you know, it's, I said this before, that when you're a pastor, you can't be part of the flock. Not if, you can't have friends. You can be friendly, but you can't have friends in the church family because your preaching is going to be, you know, it's going to be tweaked. I remember I went from, in the church back then, I went from, each family took me in as a close, and then after I got a preaching, done to that family. Okay, if somebody else brings me up, okay, I say something, they kind of fade my invitations over all the time, or buying me things. You know, like I would get, somebody would give me a gun, then somebody else would give me a gun, and then pretty soon nobody's giving me guns. I mean, you just can't be part of that. Paul could not be part of the Gentiles. He couldn't even be part of his people, but he had to be taken away from the Gentiles because he's going to preach to them. So pastors would be pulled away because he's got to preach what he has to preach. And here's his mission, specifically. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there's his direction, and it's to Gentiles. You're to be separated from the delivered from the Gentiles to go to the Gentiles. Now let's go to Romans 11. Skip Ephesians. Let's go to Romans 11. So if he's wondering why Jesus went on to the Jews or went on to the Gentiles only, well, read Romans 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Because there are people that believe that God's done to the Jews forever. No, not at all. For he says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not know the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the knee, to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is of no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Read that one slowly. You'll get it. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Bunny trail. Notice what drum sets do to music. The drum set concept gets in there, and it's called it. Their table be made a snare. It's a snare drum, and a trap set. Anyway. Back on track here. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? So see, God didn't just shut them out. They stumbled. They quit. They didn't want to hear it. And all the different places Paul was going, they didn't want to hear it. So he cuts them off. Goes another place, cuts them off. Another place, cuts them off. Towards ending up going to the Gentiles. But even during that, he's always wanting his Jews to get it. Jews can still hear what Paul had to say. But Paul was done with miracles, signs, and wonders. He was done with all that hoopla. Because they didn't believe it anyway. So he goes to the Gentiles with the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of faith. So yes, it is Paul only. It isn't Paul and the Gospels. It isn't Paul and the first part of Acts. It isn't Paul and Hebrews and Peter. It's Paul. People still, honestly, I really don't believe that people have actually read the Bible through. Okay, I guess I'll throw this in. Some of you know this, that this whole thing got started with me when I said back when I was preaching, you know, I need to read from the beginning to the end. But I didn't have the discipline enough in my brain to do so. So I started with Scorby. And I sat down, I would listen to one tape in the morning of the Old Testament, and one tape in the morning of the New Testament, one tape in the evening of the Old Testament. I would take my little notes, you know, and it just started to make sense. I started to see this stuff without looking at Bullinger stuff and the Mid-Acts guys and all those messed up things. Just clean, simple Bible. So they missed this thing. Now, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. So Paul wanted his people to get it. Okay, then the next comment would be, so then why, if we get Paul's teachings, why should we go back to the Jewish teachings? Why go back to the Gospels? They're supposed to be wanting to come up with what we have. See what I'm saying? If by any means I may provoke emulation In other words, if those Jews would love what I'm preaching, they would come over to this side. It isn't that they love his preaching, so then we get saved and the Gentiles go back to the Jewish teachings. No, they're supposed to want what we have. We're not supposed to want what they have. The problem is the preachers haven't taught what Paul preaches of what we have today. There's no reason in the world we're supposed to go back to the Gospels. They're supposed to come up to what Paul preaches. It is Paul only today. And if Christianity would have gotten a hold of what the risen Savior said, what the risen Savior taught about sin being gone, which most Christians still can't even handle that teaching, spiritual circumcision, they just can't grasp that stuff. And then the outward daily walk being the manner of life of Paul, if Christianity would have gone that way, the Jews in the lost world would have wanted what the risen Savior did. Well, the preachers haven't taught that. And as a result, lost people, they're not interested in this Jesus who's going to bang on you if you don't do the right thing. It was wonderful that he died for their sins, but if you mess up and you don't stop sinning, then you lose. I mean, all those different teachings are just, nobody wants that. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want it. So, yeah, JM, it is Paul only. It is not Jewish teachings. The Jews are supposed to want what the Gentiles have been told. 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now here we go. We're not talking to individuals, we're talking to the nations. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now we're looking to the Gentile nation. And behold, therefore the goodness and severity of God. Two things to look for, the goodness of God and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, that's the Gentiles, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise they shall also be cut off. So it's very obvious that God has gone from the Jews to the Gentiles, and when the Gentiles are no longer interested, he's going to cut them off and go back to his Jews. It's just an amazing thing. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. See, these college guys are ignorant of this stuff. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. And they are. I was thinking today, why is it that modern Christians actually think they're doing good enough, you know, day to day, to please God on a basis like that, to receive his blessings? Don't they ever do anything wrong? Don't they ever think anything wrong? Don't they ever see wrong stuff? I think what they're doing is they're basing their Christianity on being nice. They're nice to people. They're good people. They could care less what God has taught them at all. And what God's standard is, Romans 2:16, Paul's teaching. They could care less what sound doctrine is. They could care less what modesty in Timothy. They could care less about the working thing. Well, we're in a rough world. It's falling apart. We do what we have to do to maintain a life. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's the stuff that'll burn. But there's people that really think they're actually just good Christians 24/7, with a few confessions here and there. But that's because they're nice people and they're good people, according to them. Honorable and devout. And those people were always Paul's enemy. And they still are to this day. Okay, verse 25 again. Sorry, I got off on that track. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, and they are, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So there's a separation, J.M. There is a separation. Right now, God is done to the Jews because they're blind to them. And yet, when he's done to the Gentiles, he'll go back to them. But right now, verse 28, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. So, Jews are enemies to us for, as far as what we're teaching. But as far as people, they're still God's children. They're still his people. They are beloved by God. So then it goes on back to Paul, blah, 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 blah. So we go to Ephesians chapter 2, in these places where Bob had to go to work, okay, where it says here that, you know, we've been made one with the Jews and the Gentiles, but they all say we should go back to the Jewish teachings. No, it's the Jewish people that need to come up to the Gentile teachings. That's where it's at. That's the risen Savior. So this guy knew where to go for the right verses. He just didn't know what they meant. It's amazing. So I'll stop there. I was going to do something else. I think that's a good place to stop here. Does that make sense? I mean, it is really, truly Paul only. You can't mix the old stuff with Paul. And besides that, Hebrews 9:16 says that the New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator. That's simple verse, right? There's your salient verse, as they say, that the New Testament, even though the Bible even starts the New Testament of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it doesn't really begin doctrinally until Christ's death. And that's where Paul comes in. Now we got those chapters 6, 7, and 8. We're going to talk about those Sunday morning, about Peter's ministry. Because the next thing this guy says is, well, Peter was called to the Gentiles. Yeah, but we're going to see that Peter was called to the Gentiles, but he was called to the Gentiles as the Great Commission is what he was called to. And Paul was never called to the Great Commission. So those first eight chapters, we're going to look at those. That's Peter's ministry to the Gentiles, but it wasn't the message that Paul was given to take to the Gentiles. So we'll look at that Sunday morning. If you want to look ahead, read chapters 1 through 8 in Acts for Sunday morning. It's amazing. That is the Great Commission right there. It took place. It was real. But it's done and it's over with. Now we go to Paul. So yes, conclusion, it is Paul only. But we still read Genesis to Revelation for obvious reasons. So that's it for the night. We'll see you folks on Sunday.